Jennifer Brown was a single mom who disappeared without a trace one day when she didn't pick her son up from the bus stop. The police, along with Jennifer's friends and family, started searching for answers to figure out what happened to her. Little did they know, the answer might have been in front of them the whole time. This is the case of Jennifer Brown. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is Avery.
And my name is Dylan.
And welcome to True Time.
Welcome back, or welcome for the first time.
We are so glad to have you here with us today.
Very happy.
We hope you're ready to hang out with us for the next 30-ish minutes, however long this will be.
The best part of your day.
I hope so. Well, Dylan, we have to break some sad news.
Yeah.
We had been announcing that we were going to know where we were moving.
Yes.
And we kept telling you to come back and tune in. Well, fun fact. Well, I guess it's not a fun fact. We still don't know.
Yeah.
But we actually won't know for a little longer than we were expecting.
Yeah. So we were going to be moving, if you don't know, from Germany back to the States this summer, but now we are not moving until winter. So,
yep.
You know, we won't be finding out where we will be going until summer when we're supposed to be leaving.
Yeah. Our timeline got pushed back a little bit, but we are being optimistic about it.
Trying to
find the positives. We were just really excited.
Yeah. There's nothing negative with, you know, staying in Europe for a little bit longer, but
no,
we had our mindset on moving back, you know, buying a house,
yeah,
starting that part of life.
Yeah, we were just really ready for that. But now we have a little more time to travel and say our goodbyes to Germany. So
yeah,
just a couple more months, extra months added on.
Yeah, not too bad.
No. So we'll still be pretty far ahead time-wise for most of our listeners for just a little bit longer. Yeah. But that's okay.
Other life updates?
Kai is getting big.
Big boy.
He's not chunky. He's like beefy.
Yeah, he's getting stockier.
Yeah. His breed, he's a Siberian cat, and they have like shorter legs because their bodies are made to be able to like slink through the snow.
Think of like a leopard, like thick, short legs.
Yeah.
Like stocky boy.
Mm-hmm. But he has a really, really long body.
Yeah, like a ferret.
So he's like a little awkwardly proportioned. A little bit like, yeah, just when you look at him and you realize that you can see it.
Yeah. You don't really see it when he's walking around. It's more like when he stretches out. Mm-hmm. Or if you like pick him up and stretch him out like a slinky.
Yeah. Or when he sits down, his spine has like this huge curve.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you need longer legs to straighten out that back. Yeah. But he's doing great.
Yes.
If anybody wants to know how he's doing. But yeah. Anything else?
This weekend, we're just doing a little, what is it?
Yeah. It's a torch lit hike. So it's like a night hike. But you buy torches at the beginning and then you walk through the woods in the dark with fire.
Yeah.
Just a fun, random German activity we're looking forward to. We haven't really done anything since like the Christmas markets.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
So it's still pretty cold here weather-wise, but we are excited to be getting back outside.
Yeah, today was a solid maybe 35, 40-ish. Yeah.
But at least it was sunny. We're getting out of the dark, gloomy days, which is good.
Yeah, if you don't know, in Germany, it's dark from, what, like, November?
Yeah.
Starts getting dark?
Yeah.
It's dark from, like, November to, like, February. Like, about this time is when we finally see sunlight, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're excited for that. But, yeah, that's pretty much everything we have going on. Feel free to share with us your upcoming weekend plans or any fun, crazy life changes. We're going through it, so.
Or if you have weird shaped cats as well.
Yeah, let us know if your cat has a unique body type. That sounds funny. But alrighty then.
Should we get into the story?
Let's do it.
Sounds good.
Our case this week begins on January 4th, 2023 in Royers Ford, Pennsylvania. So this case is super recent. Jennifer Brown was a 43-year-old single mother who was described as being a, quote, helicopter mom because of how she prioritized raising her son. Jennifer's son Noah was 8 years old, and all of her friends and neighbors said she was the best mom because of how loving and nurturing she was to him. Noah had autism, so Jennifer always made sure he had all of the medicine and the proper care he needed to feel safe and provided for. However, when Noah was at school on January 4th, his behavior was off. His teacher had noticed Noah was acting out, which meant he had not taken his medicine for the day, and he was also wearing clothes that did not belong to him. The teacher decided to talk to Noah to figure out what was going on, and Noah shocked the teacher when he said, quote, "My mommy went to the grocery store and never came back," end quote. Automatically, the teacher became extremely worried, but Noah explained that the afternoon before, on January 3rd, a man named Mr. Blair had picked him up from his bus stop. Mr. Blair was Blair Anthony Watts, who was 33 years old. According to thewickedtruthblog.com, Watts was a friend and business partner to Jennifer Brown. He was a married father of three, so it wasn't out of the ordinary for him to have picked up Noah from his bus stop. After picking up Noah, Watts told him that he was going to be sleeping over at his house because his mom was busy at the grocery store. Jennifer, being the type of mom she was, always picked Noah up from the bus, and if she was going to have him stay the night somewhere, she would be sure to pack him his medicine and a change of clothes.
Yeah, that seems really odd.
Mm-hmm. Out of concern, the teacher attempted to contact Jennifer multiple times that day to let her know what was going on, but there was no response, which wasn't normal. The teacher then notified Anita Polito, Jennifer's mom, that Noah had missed 2 doses of his medicine and Jennifer was not responding. Later that afternoon, Noah got off the bus again, but Jennifer wasn't there to get him. Watts then called Limerick Township Police to have a welfare check done at Jennifer's home. Officer Stephen Crawford arrived at the home at 4:20 that afternoon and met with Watts outside.
So whenever she called the mom, she didn't say anything?
When the teacher called?
Called Jennifer's mom?
Mm-hmm.
Her mom didn't, like, was just like, oh, I don't know what's going on?
Or what? Yeah, they just kept trying to get in contact with her.
Oh, so they were just both trying to call her?
Mm-hmm. And then Jennifer's mom contacted her sister, Jennifer's aunt, who mm-hmm. lived like 2 hours away to let her know that.
Oh, so her mom didn't live nearby?
I don't think so. I didn't okay. read that she was close by, but I read that she contacted the aunt who was like 2 hours away in New Jersey, and the aunt like started to drive up there when there was no response and things were getting serious.
Okay.
Watts explained to Officer Crawford how he was a friend and business partner and that he had been trying to get in contact with Jennifer, but she was not replying. He also showed Officer Crawford that her Toyota RAV4 was parked near the house. The officer decided to ask Watts the last time he had seen Jennifer, and he explained that he was with her the day before, January 3rd, at around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He had only been with her for about an hour, but within that time, Jennifer talked about how she needed a break, so they agreed he would pick Noah up from the bus, keep him for the night, and take him to school the next morning, which again, he also said wasn't out of the ordinary.
Other than her not giving him anything for her child.
Yeah. He explained how he had texted and called her that night, but heard nothing, and he continued to try to get in contact with her multiple times throughout the day on January 4th. When he still hadn't heard anything, he decided to go over to her house, and once he realized she wasn't home to get Noah off the bus, he knew something wasn't right. That's when he waited to pick up Noah from the bus and contacted the police for a welfare check. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. It's officially a new year, which can be exciting to think of all the possibilities and opportunities that lie ahead of us in 2023, but personally, it can also be extremely overwhelming. New beginnings can come with a lot of unknowns and uncertainties, and dealing with these stressors can cause us to struggle with sleeping, making life decisions, and finding what truly makes us happy. A few months ago, I personally had to make some really difficult decisions to prioritize my mental health, but by doing that, I was able to overcome the challenges I faced and ultimately learned how important it is to check in with myself and how I'm feeling. Fresh starts can be hard or even scary, but an amazing solution to work through anything you may be facing is to start talking to a therapist. Now is the perfect time to put your mental health first and check out BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service with over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists, and is 100% online, which is amazing because this truly makes it accessible to everyone. To get started, you simply just answer a couple of questions about what your specific needs are and what you are looking for in a therapist. This information allows BetterHelp to match you to a therapist who is experienced in helping to meet your needs and trained to listen. Then you can get in contact with your therapist in a way that is convenient and comfortable for you. You can text or chat at any time, as well as schedule phone or video calls. If at any time you decide you'd like a new therapist, BetterHelp can help you to make a switch at no additional charge.
BetterHelp is an amazing resource that offers professionalism and quality you would expect from in-office therapy, all from the comfort of your own space. It can be difficult to search and find the help you are looking for in your area, but BetterHelp ultimately allows you to connect with a therapist who is custom picked for you, with more scheduling flexibility at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/truetime. That's betterhelp.com/truetime. Check out our link in the description to take charge of your mental health today. Thank you again to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's episode. Officer Crawford looked around the home and was able to enter through an unlocked kitchen window. As he looked around, he realized there was nothing out of the ordinary at all. There were no signs of forced entry or any type of struggle.
Is that legal?
What?
For a cop to just go through an open or an unlocked window?
Well, it's a welfare check. You're making sure someone's okay.
So since it's not to like find evidence on someone.
No.
So it's just,
no. At this point, I think it's more so, is this person, did they get sick? Did they have an accident? Like, are they inside the home?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. They're not searching for evidence at this point.
Yeah.
What he did find, though, was all of her belongings inside, like her car keys, her purse that still contained all of her bank cards, and a work phone. However, it would be during a second search the next day that they would realize her personal cell phone was missing. They tried to track the last place her cell phone pinged, but it had been shut off at 7 in the morning near a road within Limerick Township. The only unusual evidence found within Jennifer's home were multiple plastic black and marble pieces that were on the carpet in the living room. So this, I think, took place the next day. So at this point, they had on January 4th, they found her missing, and then within the next few days after that, then they started searching the home for evidence.
Yeah, okay.
So that's when they found these like weird plastic pieces in the rug, but all of her stuff was still there except for her phone.
What does that even mean? Just, they don't even know what it was?
Yeah, they're like plastic broken pieces that were like embedded in the carpet.
Weird.
Just something random. So the police tried to search the home for what those broken plastic pieces could have gone to, but they couldn't find a source. Police officer Stephen Maurer interviewed one of Jennifer's neighbors named Brian Bavey to see if anyone else had seen her or heard from her. Brian informed the officer that he was in frequent contact with Jennifer because they had a secret relationship, even though he was married.
Oh, no.
He said that
was her neighbor.
Sorry, yeah,
to cut you off.
Yeah, just like a next door neighbor.
Oh,
he said
so messed up.
Yeah. Well, he said that the last time that they had communicated was on New Year's Eve, but he hadn't heard from her since then, So with that, the police weren't able to find any helpful information or a direction to a lead. That was until they were able to do a deep dive on Jennifer's personal tablet that they found within the home. They discovered that at 4:23 p.m. on January 3rd, which would have been around the time she went missing, she had used the app Cash App to send $9,000 to the account called $Birdie's Kitchen. Even more suspicious was that the two-step authentication security feature had been turned off right before. The police also found a second transaction made minutes later at 4:35 on Zelle. The transaction showed that an additional $8,000 had been sent to Birdie's.
Oh my gosh.
The owner of these Birdie Kitchen accounts was Blair Watts. With this information and the fact that he was the one who called the police to conduct a welfare check, the police had Watts come to the Limerick Township Police Department to interview him on January 6th. Watts told the police about the business relationship he had with Jennifer. Birdie's Kitchen was the restaurant Watts had been trying to open up with the help of Jennifer's investments. He told the police that Jennifer would send him money every 6 weeks and that she had already invested around $36,000, but still owed him about another $10,000.
Goodness gracious, that's a lot.
Yeah, these were no small amounts to invest in a new business, especially for a working single mother. So the police decided to investigate and find the official business agreement Jennifer and Watts had made. They discovered that on August 28, 2022, they had created a business partnership agreement that contained all the details about the payments Jennifer made. The agreement stated that Jennifer was going to pay a total of $14,000 broken up into two payments. The first $7,000 was to be paid up front, and the remaining $7,000 was going to be paid within 30 days.
So not even close to the amount that he said.
No. The agreement also showed the plan for repayment being the amount of $270 weekly for 52 weeks after the restaurant opened. But since the agreement only proved Jennifer had paid Watts $14,000, it was pretty shocking that Watts had told the police she had invested almost $36,000. With this discovery, the police also learned some helpful information from two brothers who owned the property where Birdie's Kitchen was meant to open. There was never an official agreement created, but that August, Watts had made plans for his restaurant to open at a property owned by the Zaremba brothers. Watts never paid them any money for the space, so he never had access to it, but he did put up a banner. But after a few months went by and Watts showed no signs of renovating the place and getting it up and running, at the end of December, the brothers decided to end their verbal agreement.
So it seems like maybe it was a front for him to just get money?
Yeah. This made Watts extremely upset. However, he reached out to them on January 4th, just after those large payments were made to him from Jennifer's accounts, saying he had the money this time and he was ready to sign a lease. The police obviously found this to be really suspicious, but the information they would learn soon would prove to be even more shocking. A major piece of information actually came from Jennifer's son, Noah. Noah was interviewed around the time they had learned about the strange cash payments, and he told the story of what happened when Watts picked him up from the bus. He said that after being picked up, Watts drove him over to his house so he could run inside to grab Noah's iPad. Noah stayed inside the car, but when Watts came back, he realized he had his mom's personal cell phone. He said he knew it was his mom's because the lock screen was his school picture from the second grade. To the police, her personal cell phone was missing, but an 8-year-old gave them major evidence as to who may be responsible for what happened to Jennifer. Noah went on to tell the police that after he was dropped off at Watts' home, he was left with his three children and wife. He told Noah that he must have grabbed the wrong phone on accident, so he needed to go take it back to his mom. Noah did not see Watts again until the next morning when he took him to get on the bus. Watts had been out the entire night with his girlfriend while his wife was working the night shift.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, which meant there were four children unattended for at that house.
This guy's insane.
Yeah, it's only getting worse and worse. Watts did share with police that he had stayed the night of January 3rd with his girlfriend, but he told them he drove his wife's car. But that was a lie because his wife had driven her car to work the night shift.
Does his wife know about this, or did she find out through this whole case?
There was no information that she knew about his secret relationship, so I'm assuming it probably came out with this.
Gosh.
What police eventually learned, though, was that Watts had a red Jeep Cherokee, but it had bad plates, so he was attempting to keep that information away from them.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. The police towed his Jeep so that they could search it in a secure area using a cadaver dog. At this point, most signs are pointing to him, so they're trying to see if Jennifer's remains, if she had ever been in the car.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Cadaver dog?
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy.
So when the cadaver dog named Patton searched the car, he did give a signal that in the back seat, which meant that there had been a cadaver, human remains, or human biological material there at some point.
That's so insane.
Mm-hmm. Like
that a dog can do that.
Yeah. I don't even know how you train a dog to do that. Like,
especially if it's like fresh human remains, like how's he,
it can just tell that it was in that area. There doesn't even have to be an actual body there.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Patton also did a search in Jennifer's home, and he signaled in the kitchen and near a trash can outside. Our cat Kaiser will definitely be jealous of all your dogs if you treat them to a special bark box every month. As affiliates of BarkBox, we have a special link in the description of this episode that you can click on to purchase a classic BarkBox for your favorite podcast listening pup. Every purchase of the classic BarkBox using our link greatly supports True Time, so thank you. Every time you go to the pet store, you end up wandering through the aisles looking at the same generic toys and treats that are always there. But with BarkBox, which is a unique themed monthly subscription service for your dog, you can really elevate your playtime and treat time.
Every month, BarkBox creates a brand new theme, along with some really cool featured themes for toys and treats inside. Your first month, you get to pick out of the available themes. And every box after that, BarkBox will surprise you and your dog, so it really feels like the gift that keeps on giving. Each BarkBox comes with two toys, two bags of treats, and one chew. They offer a monthly, a 6-month, and a yearly subscription plan so you can pick the option that works best for you and your dog.
They also have awesome incentives when you first sign up. For example, your first box will be doubled for free. That means you'll be getting 4 toys, 4 treats, and 2 chews. BarkBox works with meat preferences, diet and allergy restrictions, and even offers a surprise for your dog's birth month or adoption month. So what are you waiting for? Use the link in the description to order your first BarkBox today. Your dogs will be so excited for playtime. At this point, all the police can do is continue to search for Jennifer. After 2 long, painful weeks, some employees on their smoke break noticed an odd, freshly dug hole outside of their warehouse, so they called the police to come investigate it. When the police officers arrived to the scene, they were able to identify that a body was inside the shallow grave.
Oh my gosh.
It was Jennifer Brown.
How far away was that from her house?
Minutes.
Gosh.
She was found wrapped in plastic, wearing a long-sleeve shirt and jeans, but she did not have any socks or shoes on, which investigators believe meant she was at home when she was murdered.
Bro, this dude did this to open a restaurant.
Not even to open a restaurant, just to steal more money, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, he hit them up for the lease.
Yeah, in an attempt. He was supposed to open in January of 2023.
Yeah.
And he didn't use any of the initial money that he had gotten in August.
Probably buying his girlfriend some jewelry.
Yeah, I really don't know. They also found a broken hair clip in the grave and they were able to quickly make the connection that the tiny black and white marble pieces they had found in the carpet at Jennifer's home were the pieces to it.
Oh, gosh.
Her autopsy report stated that she had 3 broken ribs and bite marks on her tongue. Her cause of death was labeled homicide by unspecified means, and District Attorney Kevin Steele stated she appeared to have died from asphyxiation, according to abcnews.go.com, but that hasn't officially been released.
Yeah, yeah, that's so sad.
With this heartbreaking discovery, the investigation continued. The police then looked into the phone records of Watts, and they found that his cell phone showed that on January 5th, he was near the location where Jennifer's body was found. With all of the incriminating evidence the police gathered about Watts, they had enough to issue a warrant for his arrest. On February 8th, 2023, Anthony Watts was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, third-degree murder, theft by unlawful taking and access device fraud, according to abcnews.go.com. And he is currently being held without bail at the Montgomery County Correctional Facility. And while he is still innocent until proven guilty, all of the gathered evidence has come from the affidavit of probable cause that led to Watts' arrest.
Yeah, he's not innocent. I'll say it right here, right now.
In my personal opinion, I don't think so. I mean, there's a motive, the connections. There also is proof that he had her cell phone.
Yeah.
That was missing.
He had her child.
Yeah.
And went to the house multiple times. Mm-hmm. And has all of her money.
Yeah, had keys. Yeah, it's pretty black and white in my opinion. And
the cadaver dog barked at his car.
Yeah. His car and also his wife's car too. The other Jeep that he said he drove, actually had to move her remains around between 2 different cars. It was in her home. There are signs of trauma, and it all just like time frame lines up perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. But again, this is all alleged. You can't make claims that they are facts.
They're facts.
I'm just messing. That is,
but it seems like,
yeah, but that's what like Watts's lawyers are like claiming, is that because, you know, the police officers and every like other district attorneys, they're claiming these to sound like facts, and like they're trying to, that's what they're going to try to use as, you know, unethical practice, which is just so frustrating.
You grasp at straws when you have nothing.
Yeah. It's so sick to me that someone has been so giving to you, and this is the extreme you have to go to. Yeah. And he's married. He has children. Like, he literally cared for, he didn't really care for, but transported her son after doing something like this in the same car that he had her dead body in. That is just so horrific.
And now her son is left alone.
Yeah, and he's only 8 years old. And another factor that just breaks my heart is he has autism.
Yeah.
Which makes any small daily routine change is very difficult for him.
Yeah.
That's what his interview with the teacher said. So the fact that his loving mom, who literally he was her whole world, is gone, it makes me very angry.
Yeah.
And that this happened so recently. Like, you read about true crime cases and things that happened years and years ago, but like this just happened a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's just devastating.
Did you have anything else?
So Jennifer's family and community have been grieving after the loss of Jennifer. She was a good friend, a good neighbor. A lot of people knew her. And the community of Royers Ford came together recently at Legacy Karate Academy to learn self-defense in case of an attack while raising money for Jennifer's family from the proceeds of the classes. The self-defense classes have been booked out, which just proves how amazing it is when people come together to show support for a family who is going through an unimaginable loss. Jennifer's aunt, Diane Brehm, said, quote, "After this very tragic, unthinkable act that's happened in our family, we know that you need to be aware and help, be aware and have help in knowing how to defend yourself," end quote. A GoFundMe page has been created for Jennifer's family, and it has also raised over $24,000, and they are still collecting donations, so I will have it linked for anyone who is interested in donating. But with a case like this, being about, you know, physical violence, I did some research, and according to the World Health Organization, 1 in 3 women have experienced a physical assault. And the heartbreaking truth is that this type of violence is 100% preventable. So I highly recommend Googling local self-defense classes in your area, because it is a skill that ultimately offers freedom and safety. And I know there's a lot of free self-defense classes. Like when I was in college, like certain police officers would hold like clinics and stuff like that. So I just think self-defense classes are a really big takeaway of how they can protect you, and you can learn some really valuable skills. But if you want to learn more about the statistics and important information about violence against women, I highly recommend checking out the World Health Organization link in the description box.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important skill to have in life, and it'll stay with you forever. So it's really important. I mean, everyone should at least have some experience, you know, learning how to defend yourself. And
yeah,
you know, your kids, it's also important for your kids to have.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, everyone should go with their families. I mean,
yeah, it's a fun activity in a sense, like kind of like a workout. You learn some new skills, but it could ultimately save your life someday.
Yeah.
So yeah, right. Definitely check that out.
Anything else?
That is it for this case. We'll just have to be on the lookout for any hearings that come up for Blair Watts, and ultimately a trial that will be held at some point in the future.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, I guess we'll move into the question of the day.
Alrighty. Cool. Definitely a mood shift.
Yeah.
Dylan created this question of the day.
It's a little random. I've heard variations of this just on videos and stuff, so you know, why not?
Let's have some fun with these questions. They don't always need to be so informational.
So the question of the day is, would you rather every day when you're going to get into your car to go to work have to fight a chicken, or once a year fight a large cat? For you, a large cat, like a Maine Coon. For me, it'd be like a dog.
Oh, thanks. I don't know, man. Even Kai, not even on purpose, has, you know, cut me up a little bit, and that hurts. Yeah,
cats are no joke.
I would probably die if a cat the size of a Maine Coon tried to attack me.
They're big boys.
So I'm going to go with, I'll just fend off a chicken every day. It'll be annoying. I can invest. No, you have to
kill the chicken.
No.
You have to slaughter
no,
the chicken.
No, no, no. That is cut out. That's no. I'll invest in some shin guards and sprint. Maybe we'll become friends after a year.
You just have a riot shield.
Yeah. I'll just brace myself, because I don't think, first of all, I would never want to fight a cat. They're too cute, and it would probably kill me. So yeah. I'll just shin check a chicken every day.
Chickens are no joke either.
No. Is it like a chicken or like a rooster? Because that's also
for you,
another.
It's chicken. For okay. Me, it's a rooster. Whew.
So what are you going with?
I'm going with a rooster.
Every day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, get your adrenaline going in the morning. Yeah. You know, you don't need that cup of coffee.
No. Just get your heart rate going up.
You know, kick a rooster in the face and hop in your car.
Just wear some shin guards. I think that was a really good idea I just came up with, so.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you actually had to do that? Maybe if you live on a farm, you might have to do something like that sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't seem unrealistic.
My friend had a goat that we'd fight.
Fight?
Not
I
fight.
Feel like you actually, I feel like you've told me about this, and I can just envision that in my head, and it's
not like
the
fighting.
Weirdest thing. No, because like, it would take you guys out, wouldn't it? Like, it wasn't a fair fight.
It was more like we'd grab the horns, and then he would like try to push each other. Like
beat up with a goat.
Yeah.
Who can last the longest? Getting beat up. Jeez. Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I think we'd both go with the chicken.
Yep. Let us know what you would go with. I'm interested to hear your reasonings.
Yeah, I think that's all.
That is everything. So again, feel free to check out our description box for the links about anything you've heard today on our podcast. We support Jennifer Brown and her family, so please check out those links if you want to make any donation or just learn more information, because there's a lot.
If you guys want to check out the case sources or pictures for the cases, anything like that, you can look at the True Time pages. That's on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at True Time Podcast. And then if you want to follow our personal life, you can follow Avery on Instagram and TikTok at Avery E. Hamill.
Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for all of your continued support. We love you guys so much. You mean the world to us.
Well, have a great week.
Have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.